Yo, what up? It's Voice of Phil up on the track, and you know, we just keep talking about it. We keep talking about it, talking about it. So I figured, you know what? Let's fucking talk about it. Let's fucking talk about it. We're talking about it. Strap in, because we're talking about it.
Looky, 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 what did we just top deck? Expressive iteration, about to create some nonsense. Put the best card in our hand, exile a fetch land. Crack it and stack it and pack it in, let's talk about the bands. Watsy, 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 let us have a little chat. I got an offer, you can't refuse, two treasures off the stack. But seriously, consider it and open up the shed. You whip out the band hammer, I will quip a Twitter thread. Expressive iteration gone, what's gonna happen now? Same story as Dreadheart Arcanist, Oko Thief of Crowns. Same thing as Treasure Cruise, Larissa the Dream Den, Deathrite Shaman, Ren and Six, why we keep pretending? Burrow lays in wait just to bring upon his wrath. There's a saga building, constructs powered level, different class. Teferi in our set, draw engines and lock pieces. How the fuck am I the only player who seems to see this? The problem is systemic, it goes back to Innistrad. Cheap threats, days, wasteland, that's the problem, child. The cards I said before, they've all been in Delver. Brute forcing down with Uro and Sagavan, remember? Burnt head on the block! Fuck it, see what happens. The best echo, just adopt the next new best plan of action. I don't have all the answers, but what we're doing, it ain't working. Can we all at least agree to have a future that's uncertain? Try a sample platter of the format up on Moto, where a different card is banned to collect data to look over. You don't even have to share it, transparency is so hard. But maybe your next ban announcement will hit the correct card.
Oh, fuck, man. I just don't know. Fuck it. Just hit the hook, bro. Just hit the hook. What it do?
Look at what it, we just top deck. Expressive iteration, about to create some nonsense. With the best card in our hand, exile a fetch land. Crack it and stack it and pack it in, let's talk about the band.
Look at what it, we just top deck. Expressive iteration, about to create some nonsense. With the best card in our hand, exile a fetch land. Crack it and stack it and pack it in, let's talk about the band.
Hello and welcome to Eternal Dirtles. I'm your host, Zach Clark, and with me as always, Phil Bleckman. Phil, how's it going, man?
Bro, you got some hot takes today?
I have some Asmora Martica Dashina Koldakar hot takes today.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, so first thing I want to do is acknowledge our Patreon supporters. Thank you, everybody. Also acknowledge our store in the link below. You can get a coffee mug.
Get that merch.
I actually printed it on the side, so like it's like a normal coffee mug. This is the prototype, you know, super. This is the super rare chip version, chip being over here. So we got a couple things to talk about today. And before we get started in all that, I wanted to talk about Moxfield. Phil, you know about Moxfield?
Bro, I've been on Moxfield more frequently. Like, I was already on Moxfield a lot before, but ever since Triumph of St. Catherine came out, I've been on Moxfield like more or less every day, like adjusting my list and thinking about cards and adding cards to like the considering section, because they let you put cards that you're considering for your deck list in a separate slot. And now I'm like trying to find time when I can write up a primer on the list.
Write that primer, yeah, of course.
I got to write the primer on it. You know, I just got to allocate the time to actually do that, because I'm going to be playing this Miracles list at EU, and I'm going to win that event. So,
yeah. How hype are you about the social media thing that they're talking about launching? That seems like, it seems like the perfect time, right?
I think that like the social media thing could be successful. It's just, I think the hardest part is always, it's always the hardest part is like just getting people to migrate to it. Once it just becomes de facto, like where people go, I feel it's similar to what Discord is now. There's a Discord for like every single archetype in the format. Yeah. It's not like that just randomly happened. There was first one Discord for one archetype, and then it sort of just branched out because it was the, like,
I'm in like eight or nine magic discords depending on the city I want to be in and the format I want to play, for sure.
I actually do think that, I get that Moxfield doesn't have an app right now, but I think that when they do have an app, it'll be much easier to navigate people to the Twitter of Magic on Moxfield.
I agree. I'm super excited about that, because I think that that's going to be a huge launch for Moxfield. I think that also, get in there now. Like, get your screen name, whatnot, get all that stuff sorted out now, so that when they do drop it, you're already ready. You know, like, that's, as a listener to our podcast, you'll be ahead of the curve on that sort of stuff. But also, besides that, like, moxfield.com is a amazing deck building website that you can use on your PC, on your Mac, on your iPhone, on your Android. It's a great deck building website. Like Phil was saying, you can add your decks, obviously, but you also have things like considering. You can write primers on there. There's a huge community on Moxfield, and there's a Discord on Moxfield too, where people are on there. They can comment on your deck and give you ideas and stuff. It's just an all all around great place to build your deck. Don't use redacted website to build your deck anymore. What are you doing?
Yeah, ain't nobody got time.
It looks like someone who built AIM Instant Messenger is doing that. And look, I'm a Magic Boomer, but not all of you guys are Magic Boomers. And most of you probably didn't even have AOL Instant Messenger back in the day.
Can't ASL, spend the time right? on redacted website. Like that's, I mean, get redacted website out of here.
So yeah, I think I've said all that needs to be said about Moxfield. And then one final note, everybody. If you're listening to this on the podcast, audio-wise, please stop over to the YouTube, like and subscribe on the YouTube. That really helps us out. We're starting to see a climb. Like, we were at 300 last week. We're now at 325 or 326. That's amazing. That's the kind of growth, and it's natural growth, you know? Like, that's the big thing about YouTube. It's like having that natural growth. We're not, like, out there paying people to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Like, we're not Mr. Beast or whatever. Like, we don't have those kind of numbers. But getting to that 1,000 mark is huge for us, and that's kind of what we're trying to do in 2023 is, like, get all the way up to the 1,000 mark. So if you listen to this podcast on the regular through audio, subscribe to the podcast on YouTube as well. Like, comment, you know, all that stuff. Having said that, Phil, I want to talk to you about two specific things. Both of them to me are financial issues that you might not feel the same way about them. The first thing I want to talk about is the Bank of America article that says like they've downgraded Hasbro stock to underperform from buy, which is like two levels of downgrade based on like saturation in the market and like ruining the killing Magic. You know, they were like, oh, it's killing Magic. So I wanted to get your take on that, and then I wanted to follow up with you know, like kind of where I am as a Hasbro stockholder.
I think that stuff it feels a bit overblown to me. I would hate to be the brand manager and have to deal with something like the 30th anniversary.
Oh God, choice, could you right? I just like, could you imagine being like just being asked to be on that cast when that happened? Like even Rosewater looked uncomfortable when they were announcing that.
You could tell that both of them were very uncomfortable. Yeah, announcing it's just like, that. You could tell that they didn't want to. Watching it was pretty obvious to me in the moment that they were clearly hesitant about that announcement as they were making it, because they knew that it obviously was not going to be
no
liked.
Way. Like there's no world where everyone's like, oh great.
The idea of Magic 30 has been beaten into the ground, but I think it was like I think that's just like the most obvious example of devaluing your brand. That was the takeaway that I got from the whole thing of like, yeah, the stock fell, whatever. It didn't strike me as like they're not making as much money or like the saturation of the market or whatever. They're literally printing cards. Like it's free. Yeah. For them, it's effectively free. Like they're printing dollars. They're literally printing money. Like the amount of money that they lose by overprinting, like I don't know what it is, but there's no, it's not like you're investing in significant hardware that's like difficult to produce and hard, you know, like they're literally printing paper. It's
Phil,
fine.
The funny thing about that to me also is like, if it was like, they could have taken a different product and pitched it in a way that would have made sense. Hey, don't you miss drafting like Mercadian Mask Nemesis Prophecy? Like you can go back and do that. It's only $750. That's insane. But no one's even drafting this format, right? Like Alpha Beta Unlimited, like the base set of Magic the Gathering, was not really a draftable set. Like we
wasn't designed for draft. Draft didn't exist.
Well before draft existed. Like Sealed barely existed at that point, right? This product has one audience. It's collectors, and that's fine. But calling it like a celebration of 30 years of Magic, what? I didn't even like the 20-year celebration where they were like, we have a very limited number of, what are they? I forget what they're even called now. They're basically secret layers. Back in the day, they did those like, what were they called? I forget. But anyhow, 20 cards from Magic's history and included Jace the Mind Sculptor as one of those 20 cards, which was literally
the value. That was a From the Vault or something.
From the Vault,
it?
Yeah. From the Vault, yeah. The old secret layer. That's the same. It's basically the same thing.
It's the same thing.
They're just not happening. They're happening with much more frequency. So my take as a person who is invested in Hasbro, not a financial advisor, is that this is a great time to continue buying stock. Hasbro's not going anywhere. The meme Hasbro until all are one, which comes from like the Transformers movie from 1986, is like
Phyrexia, bro.
Buys every, yeah, they are Phyrexians, right? No, Hasbro just buys every game. Hasbro owns every property. And technically, like, I think Disney owns Hasbro, right? Hasbro's going nowhere, you know? Like, that's not happening. Right now, as it's dropping, it's a great time to buy. I've been buying stock in Hasbro for, like, over a year now. And look, I've seen it, like, it's continuing to drop and drop and drop, and I just keep buying. Because eventually, it's gonna go back up. I like to think, at least. I could be wrong. The whole, like, everybody's getting out because the price is dropping thing, like, I don't know. That seems crazy to me.
I'm pretty off of the, like, you know, every decision that they make, it's like, oh my gosh, this is gonna kill Magic. Like, nothing's gonna kill Magic, team. Like, Magic, they're planning 7 years out. It's just, like, not a threat at all.
It might kill and, some of the people's jobs at Magic, but it's not going to kill the game.
The only thing that's evolved is that they've recognized that Standard isn't like a reasonable format to do anymore. Like, it's pretty much an arena-only format. The game moves way too quickly. There's way too much product printed that's not Standard, that's like outside of their premier sets. Like, the only part of Magic that, in my mind, that has died is like Standard as a competitive paper format. If anything, they just moved it over to Pioneer. The PT formats that they've announced so far are all going to be Pioneer. It's just going to be a younger format. And then as the years evolve, eventually, when Pioneer gets to be Modern's age, they'll come up with a new format that will be an additional format that'll be like the new Standard, effectively.
But, you know,
otherwise, like, oh man, like, your collection's going to lose fucking value. Like, no, it's not. Like, it's going to be fine.
It keeps going.
You're
going
to be fine.
The funny thing is, internet machine of like these Magic Finance guys that talk about like all the collections are dropping. Everybody's mad. I'm not even going to name those guys because like
the collections aren't dropping.
No, exactly. And they're like, players are mad. But I will say this is the one time where voting with your wallet has sort of affected Hasbro in some way, right? Like, we were like, I don't need to buy all of whatever this next set is, or like, it has shown financially somehow in Hasbro that's not great. I don't have insight to that, but I know that at some point or another, not enough people are buying the product that they're putting out, that like stores are buying less overall product because they're able to meet demand easily. They're over purchasing, and then stuff is going on sale. You know, you can find most Commander decks for like $10 to $15 less than what they retail for like a month after they come out, because like they're just sitting on shelves. Basically, like, Magic's going nowhere.
I get that Magic 30 was obviously an atrocious money grab, and that like zero people liked it, right? Like, I haven't seen anybody who likes it. Cool. I remember initially when everybody was off of Secret Lair, and then at some point, like, once they printed a Secret Lair that you like, and then you're like, oh, actually, maybe I do want this, because being able to look at art or look at a variant of a card that you enjoy and be able to express yourself from your deck in terms of its aesthetics was actually like a really smart idea that they probably should have done a long time ago, because we're spending money buying cards we already own so we can express ourselves in how the deck looks and how we present it.
Counterpoint to that, proxies being like a thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? So everyone's like, hey, you know, like, why don't I just like okay proxies with my EDH group, which is not a tournament format. So like, it's not DCI sanctioned. And what happens is people see these cool Secret Lairs and they just go print them for pennies on the dollar, you know, instead of spending $35. Like, what I'm holding in my hand is like, what, like $2,000 worth of islands from that one Secret Lair? That's crazy. Why would I do that when I can go somewhere and get them printed? Basically, what Wizards did in creating Magic 30 was that they basically made everybody realize that it's okay casually to play with proxies, which is fun. I agree with that.
It was okay casually to do that anyway.
Well, yes, but there was a stigma there that some players are like, ew, I don't allow that in my play group, blah, blah, blah.
You don't play with those players.
I agree. But now that is the super minority in Commander. My buddy Mike runs Eminence Gaming, and they do a CEDH tournament series where they like basically hold like a Grand Prix for CEDH. And they've done like two or three of them now. Super successful. And there's a 100% proxy rule there. It's all about just playing the game. And what you're going to see over time is that people are going to start being like, well, this is too expensive to just buy the Secret Lair. Why don't I have unnamed card company print them for me and ship them to me? You know, there's a varying level of like, how legal is that stuff going on? But at the same time, like, you're saving like tens of thousands of dollars if you want to get like vintage stuff printed.
In my mind, it was just more of a brand issue than anything else. And I feel like they've been softening the brand by just arbitrarily making things expensive that they don't need to be. There's like a distrust. There's a distrust between those moments when they do things like Magic 30. And then there's also a distrust in terms of like the inconsistent ban announcements. Like, clearly they don't have a handle on like what the players are looking for in their formats and when they want them adjusted and how they want them adjusted. Like, the only one that they've done that well with is Pauper. Like, that lack of transparency, that lack of communication, that erodes trust. And when you erode trust, in my view, that's when the brand is taking hits. That's when it's like getting dented. And that's really where I feel like there's going to be a drop off in terms of like the value of your stock, because it's like, if I don't trust the company, I'm not going to want to put my dollars behind them. Right. Like, I mean, but that's just me. Anyway, any of the stuff of like, you know, Magic is dying, that's overblown. Let's talk about Morrow's nonsense.
Brando agrees with you 100%. He got really vocal when you were talking about that, because he agreed with you so much. Anyone on the cast.
I want a comet stellar pup altered with Brando on it.
Yeah, we can do that, right? Right, Bub? Yeah, there we go. Anyhow, yeah. So this is the sort of stuff that you're missing, by the way, if you only listen to the audio version of the podcast. You miss Brando, the Wonder Pup.
Yeah, you're missing the Wonder Pup Brando over here.
Let's talk about the Mauro Blogatog post about how Mauro, I'm going to read it verbatim here so that we can get an exact quote here. Modern Horizons opened up a ton of interesting design space. It also kind of broke modern wide open and led to a lot of bans. Is there any plan to make an Eternal Horizons that skips modern altogether and adds a bunch of power to legacy and vintage? Is that something people would want?
So the first part was the question. And then Mauro responded, is that something people would want?
Yeah.
We have differing takes here because I think, fuck no. Fuck
so yeah, no. So general like common wisdom would say, absolutely not. It already ruined legacy. Going from modern to skipping modern completely just means they're going to overpower even more cards. It's going to be horrible.
No, I actually think Eternal Horizons, if it skipped modern and it was just for legacy and vintage, I actually think that it would actually be tamer than Modern Horizons, because for Modern Horizons cards, they didn't test them in legacy. So when Ren 6 came out, when Ragavan came out, like, they were not testing those cards in legacy with the context around those things, right? Like, they never had to look at Renin 6 in the context of Wasteland. That's just not something that they have in modern. When they're trying out stuff for modern, even though these are obviously egregious power creep designs, they weren't testing them in legacy. And so they were even more broken in legacy because of the context that legacy provides. So I actually think if they were testing for legacy and putting cards into legacy and vintage, that the cards would be more tame in terms of like egregious power level, because they would be able to figure out what tools are busted with what things. But I also think that they would arbitrarily give archetypes tools that are really ham-fisted. They'd be like, oh, what is the exact scalpel that this deck needs? Let's give them that scalpel with no nuance or intrigue at all. It's just like, here's an additional pre-con onto your deck. And that just, like, it becomes that shit is uninteresting to me. The perfect example to me was, like, I've been a Miracles player for a decade, and then they print Triumph of St. Catherine. For the longest time, I wanted incidental life gain in my Miracles deck, right? But now for the first time ever, I have to look at Swords to Plowshares as the card I care about on the opposing side of the table.
Yeah.
It presented new problems. It wasn't just like, hey, slot this into your deck and easy peasy, your deck is better. It's like, well, I think the deck is better, but now I have to care about a whole bunch of things that I didn't care about before, and that overhauls how I have to construct the deck. Like, that was an interesting design choice where it's like, I have a new powerful tool. It's not busted by any means. It gives me a new set of cards that I have to care about that I never had to care about before. This is interesting design space to play in. It's not like they were like, oh, what does Miracles need right now? Let's like figure this out and give them exactly the tool that they want. In my mind, after seeing two Modern Horizons sets, I can't distinguish between Modern Horizons and Power Creep. They are functionally identical to me. Like, the set is just arbitrary Power Creep. And I think the worst thing that they do is Power Creep cards to sell cards. Because when you Power Creep cards, I think the biggest cost of that, aside from like effectively rotating formats, is that the Power Creep exacerbates the die roll. And I think the die roll, like the play draw, is the most significant determining factor of whether or not a game is going to be won or lost. Any card that is just so overwhelmingly more powerful on the play. Now, granted, like, you're always going to be advantaged if you're on the play. It's similar, like, if you're playing with white pieces and chess, like, you're going to have some percentage advantage there. But like, the difference between playing Ragavan on the play or the draw is overwhelming. The difference between playing Renin 6 on the play or the draw is overwhelming. Like, those types of cards, it's just like, it's uninteresting. If you play Ragavan on the play, it's like, this is exceedingly uninteresting, because now I either walk into a daze or I lose. It's like, if you have it, if we just have to turn our hands face up, power creep like that, where it's just like, okay, the context of the die roll is now being pressured, and if we do that, it's like, okay, then we're all just playing like, okay, we're gonna open our sevens, turn face up, line it up, and see if it works, right? Like, who wins based off of that, right? Those are uninteresting games when you have snowball power creep cards. So in my mind, like, the Modern Horizon sets, even though they can print some interesting cards, like, don't get me wrong, like, shit like Dress Down is pretty interesting, but like, for the most part, like, I think the benefits that we've gotten from Modern Horizons overwhelmingly outnumbered by the number of things that I think have made the format less interesting, or have made it so that you don't really have to think that much about like how to build decks. Or what they do is, because they were designing for modern, they were giving modern tools that legacy already has, and so they overwhelm the density.
Yeah, the redundancy. Of course.
They overwhelm the redundancy.
So that's why you have like 8 mulch and stuff like that. Yeah.
You have 8 mulch. You have like, there's 8 forces in the format now. There's 8 unmasks. There's 8 unmasks in the format now. Like, just adding that redundancy into legacy, like, I get that it opens up design space, but at the same time, it's not necessarily changing play patterns. It's just giving more consistency to decks, and if anything, less variance, because of you're more likely to open up the effects that you want. I think the worst part about Modern Horizons is the power creep, and that's exacerbated the die roll. Like, if anything, just like, don't design for specific formats where you're going, what tools does this specific deck need? Let's give them that specific tool. Let's make the players not have to think or contextually build their decks in any interesting way that is creative or problem solving. Like, we'll just give them the answers. Like, it's boring. As exciting as the cards are, or might be because they're powerful, in my mind, it's boring. And I would rather not have those sets where they're just like, let's effectively rotate the format. When Morrow's like, would players want that? Would you like a Horizon set for your format? That just saying, would you like your format to rotate? Would you like a format rotation? And if the answer is like, yes, I would like a format rotation, then cool. Otherwise, like—
And this is, that's like, where we differ, I think, is that I don't mind a format rotation in Legacy.
We already have Modern Horizons for Legacy. Every single Commander product is a Modern Horizons for Legacy because they're designing cards with a power level for a four-player format that you can play in a two-player format. So the number of cards that we get from Commander sets that influence the format versus from like the Premier sets that rotate, that go through Standard, it's insanely lopsided how much more we get from Commander, because they're designing cards where you're only going to get to use an effect once every four turn cycles, not every other turn cycle. The initiative cards and shit, White Plume Adventure or whatever the fuck, it's like, yeah, initiative was designed for Commander where you're getting to advance in the dungeon once every four turn cycles. There's three other players potentially attacking you trying to take the initiative. Now you just get it every other turn cycle. Like Minsk and Boo, that was designed to make a hamster every four turn cycles, not every other turn cycle. So like, we're already getting Modern Horizons in literally every Commander product that comes out with every Premier set. We don't need an additional power creep targeted thing to rotate the format.
Okay, so my stance is I'm fine with a little bit of format power creep, a little bit of, I don't want like Ragavan again, right? But if they are doing this on a somewhat regular basis, it means we don't have to have the bands that like, okay, I just spent $60 on $240 on four Ragavans, and now they're useless unless I play Modern, right? So my stance is I am okay with a Eternal Horizons if it costs the same amount to buy as a normal Standard set. I'm sick of them just being like, arbitrarily, this is a $9 pack based on older format playability. Yeah, based on power creep. Sure, I'll use your word.
But well, like, they know that they're printing more powerful cards, so they're going to be more desirable because they're more powerful.
My biggest gripe is that, so what happens is, one, the format becomes more expensive because rotation is real right now. So we have to worry about a ban. Then your deck, if you're not playing Blue Red Delver, then your deck gets a card banned and you have to like pivot to another deck, which means you have to have 2 to 3 like Legacy decks to just be like, okay, I can stomach a shift. And really the issue is that they put out, let's just pretend in the future they put out Eternal Horizons comes out, interest in Legacy and Vintage shoot up, the price of staples, reserve list cards, power and duels shoot up again, and that means that new players can't get in. But they have these cards. The answer has always been the reserve list is the problem, and I would be 100% okay if they made the format accessible and it didn't cost you an arm and a leg every time they put these sets out. You have to spend between $700 and $1,500 or maybe $2,000 to update your decks. And that's insanity to me. And I don't want to do that every year. Like I'm a functioning human being, adult, that has bills to pay. You know, I want to eventually own a home. I can't do that and play Magic at the same time. That's insanity.
I do think if they printed a Eternal Horizons that skipped over Modern, I think that the cards that come out of it, unless they're EDH Commander, unless they're Commander home runs, I actually think that cards would likely be cheaper because you wouldn't have Modern players buying them, and Modern's their most popular format.
Is Modern the most popular format?
Commander's their most popular format. Yeah, but in terms of their most popular constructed format is Modern.
Pioneer hasn't taken it over yet. I honestly don't know, because my buddy's trying to get me to play Modern right now, and I'm looking at decks and I'm just like, nothing in Modern even looks interesting to play. Like, it just looks like a two deck format.
I would consider Commander a constructed format, but it's the most popular format is Commander by a not even remotely close margin. No,
it's not even,
and then it's Modern, and then it's like a steep drop to the other formats.
I think the third, is it, do you think it's Pioneer? Is it Standard? Like, we're not considering limited as a format here. Like,
you know. I mean, legacy is infinitesimal by comparison to the younger formats.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I mean, it's not
Niagara Mohawk. I'm not thinking by any stretch of the imagination that legacy is the next format. Like, yeah, is like it Pauper?
Eternal Horizons, like, when Morrow's like, would people like that? He's not talking to us. He's talking to EDH players because it would still, legacy and vintage players are not moving the needle. Like,
that's the
there is no,
part to
like,
me is that they would even make, that they make a product for a format that they obviously aren't paying that much attention to based on the ban list. And like, who's their audience for that? It's gotta be
EDH
commander
players.
Right?
It's always commander players.
Yeah, because it's wild to me to think that they're like, oh, you know who we haven't serviced in a while? Legacy and vintage players. Those guys are really putting in the effort. You know, like, no, we're just sustained income that they get. We are the foam on the top of the latte for them. Like, it's great that it's there. It's unnecessary. You know,
also,
they don't need this like legacy players and vintage players money. We're going to buy product either way. You know,
the way they can get eternal players, I think, is what they've been doing with making legacy and vintage staples with the old like retro frames.
Yeah,
I think that's where I love that.
I can build 8 casts as like almost at 100%.
But
like,
you want to know what's extremely tilting though? When they made the retro frame Emery, they didn't rewrite the text box to say affinity.
That's true.
Still didn't do it.
For me,
retroframed doesn't say affinity.
Does the other one, the one that was like in the secret layer, does that one have it?
They didn't change. They've never put affinity on an Emery.
That's so funny.
But they have like altered the other text for Surveil, Landfall. They altered those cards.
One day,
but they did
hope.
Not for the special Emery where they can like make those types of those changes for aesthetics. They did not put affinity for artifacts on Emery.
Absolutely not.
Fuck the Horizon sets.
Get them
out of here.
I appreciate drafting the Horizon sets. That was fun. I did that a couple times. I had a blast doing it. I like even playing them. I like seeing the new cards. And I love brewing the new decks that come out, like 8 mulch. What a cool idea. Minus the fact that it's just that redundancy is what made the deck a thing.
There is no deck in Legacy that Modern Horizons 2 didn't touch.
Sure. I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think that should be the case. Like if they're going to put out an Eternal Masters or Eternal Horizon set, every deck should get affected and then new decks should also pop up. That is my ideal situation. That's the number two ideal situation for me. The number one thing I would like to change is I would like to see the top deck not be the top deck. I want to see answers for Blue Red Delver, however that's possible. We were talking before in chat about, let's say they never banned Ragavan. And then they put a gut shot out that's like, if it kills a creature with dash, draw a card. Then Ragavan sort of becomes a like a liability. Obviously, that's not like the best design scenario for that. But like my biggest gripe about the Horizon set still is and always will be the financial cost of buying a bunch of cards that, you know, several months later get banned because they're way too powerful. Like if you were one of those people that spent $240 on Ragavans during the pandemic, it's not like you even got your value out. Going to a Grand Prix or, you know, some event, like we couldn't go anywhere.
You and I agree on a bunch of it and disagree on certain parts of it, but let us know what you guys, like if they ever, if Morrow's floating the idea that they wouldn't be opposed to doing an Eternal Horizons where it's just like,
they can just
I mean, they're obviously going to be printing Modern Horizons, right? So like, it wouldn't be a far stretch for them to be like, yeah, we can make an Eternal Horizons too. And it's just like additional cards for like the older sets that don't affect Modern. I don't know why they would ever do that other than just make Modern Horizons, but you know, it's not like they're going to test for, if anything, I would think it would just be like, you know, they're making a Commander product it's not like they would be opposed to that.
I mean, that's what every Commander set is. You already said this, but that is what every Commander set is.
Eternal Horizons, yeah.
Like they could have literally just printed the 40K stuff and been like, Eternal Horizons 40K, you know, and we would have been looking at that like, okay, how do we make that a thing?
I think that like, it's just like inherently the Commander products being designed for 4-player games, getting to play them in two-player games is an inherent power level boost.
Yeah.
Like if you got an effect, instead of getting a quarter of the time, you're getting it half of the time. If 100% power boost, a card is powerful, it's inherently twice as powerful as intended. That's already your Eternal Horizons.
And it's funny because it's funny to see that versus how much better like True Name Nemesis. Okay, obviously like in a 1v1 game versus a 1v4 game or 1v3 game, that's better. It's funny that like it's so subtle for the other stuff because it's not as obvious. Like no one, and we didn't talk about White Plume Adventure. You know, like that was the card that like jumped out to me. I was like, I'm going to put that in my Sephiroth deck and, you know, well, go into the dungeon and stuff.
The thing is that it's less so White Plume Adventurer and more so the mechanic of initiative. It's the same thing with the mechanic of Monarch, right? Like when Monarch coming out and it's like, okay, if I get to draw a card at the end of every fourth turn cycle.
If I have a Howling Mine that works for me every other turn.
I have to survive in Commander. You have to survive three combat to get another card. Whereas
it's end of turn. So you get your first card you get the next time.
Yeah. But that's the same in Legacy, you get that too, right? If you become the Monarch, you get the first card draw.
Yep.
But then to get the second card draw, you only need to survive one combat, not three combat.
Which is much easier to do if you're a deck that cares about combat, right? Like if you're playing Jailer and you play it, you're probably playing a deck that can block.
Same thing with Initiative. So like White Plume Adventurer isn't like an interesting or powerful card. The Initiative is a powerful effect because it wasn't designed for 1v1. If I get to advance through the dungeon four times as fast, like fuck yeah, like obviously. Yeah. Like if any of those effects are even meaningful remotely, like, but like you go through the dungeon one time and you've drained a player for five, you've drawn two cards and you've drawn three cards if you get the tutor effect off the creature at the end. So it's like, okay, like what is it to go through the dungeon? It's what, four steps, four times going through the dungeon. Every four turns, I'm ancestraling plus establishing further presence on my board. All right, seems good for no mana investment after the fact, right? Like,
I'm interested to see what I'm interested in every take that's not fuck no, I hate that idea. Like
my take is fuck no.
Yeah, I mean that's a fine take to have. And if that is your take, hey, write fuck no in the comments. That's fine. But I'm interested in every take that is for or against this based on like, hey, I just want to, you know, like, here's my idea of why this works, why this doesn't work, you know, because I truly think I love seeing new cards come into the format. Like every time a commander set comes out, I'm excited. Every time a set drops, we don't do set drops because they're like super good for the health of the podcast. Like I just love seeing new cards and talking about them. That to me is honestly like, that's the best part of the game. That's why I subscribed to the Duelist when I was a kid. I just want to see new cards.
To clarify, I also really like seeing new cards. There's just a difference though of knowing what the intent of the new cards is. Yeah. If I know that they have printed cards specifically targeted at these archetypes in Legacy, and I go, oh, this isn't creative, this is a scalpel. Yeah. So like if I see a new card and I go, oh, this is just a pre-con, as opposed to, oh, they printed a new card and now let me try and think about how could I use this? What ways could I adapt and be creative to make this a powerful thing that I could do, as opposed to them being like, here's a powerful card you can play and it does everything by itself for you in exactly the deck that you already have, that we knew you already had, that we designed it towards. That's not interesting. That's not compelling at all.
I guess we'll see in like a year and a half when they put out Eternal Horizons.
Well, the next Modern Horizons comes out next year, right?
Does it? I don't know. I haven't been paying that much attention to the pipeline. I just wait a month and they put out a new product and then I talk about that product, you know?
All right, let me say the
only set that I know is coming out eventually is the Lord of the Rings set. And we're going to go balls to the wall for that one. I am so excited for that.
I hope that they do print Eternal Horizons and then I come on here and eat my fucking words. Because
here's the thing.
All the things I've said where they're like, yeah, we're going to design cards specifically to an archetype. We're going to give you the thing we know is going to be good for your archetype. And they finally give me Magus of the Sensei's Divining Top. And then I'm like over the moon. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's go. I love this shit. And then I have to come on here and just eat my fucking word. Oh, I would relish that.
F in the comments if you want to see that.
Would love it.
Phil. Anyhow, I think that's it. I think we've gotten the whole
I don't think the horse is dead enough. I don't think we beat enough.
Anyhow, like and subscribe, comment, hit us up on Twitter, go join us on the Discord. Below, we've got all of the links for our Moxfield thing, patreon.com/eternaldirtles. You guys know the drill. You know how all that stuff works. We super appreciate you listening, and we'll be back next week. Have a good one, everybody.
Give me a goddamn hell yeah. It's Forza Philip on the track, and we got a special treat today. Featuring on the track with me is my man, Me the Captain. Me the Captain, what it do? So you see, we've been getting done dirty by Rite of Flame as of late, so we figured it's time we done did it dirty back. Let's go. When we light up the stage,
stage, it's Rite of Flame you be cast. And we were dumb and naive to think the worst that could happen was a couple sloppy goblins bombarding the red zone like Harden after he guzzled the dozen donuts. Cardiac problem. How's a diet dog ritual gonna help you cash in? If GP's taught us one thing, this ain't Weight Watchers the Gathering. Fully flavored, fully loaded, sauce it up, getting messy. Slather up the graveyard, make it sweet, sticky, zesty. Gluttony the game, Rite of Flame plays for keeps. Watsy be on fire with their band hammer streak. Adding Rite of Flame to the pyre is nonsense, but this is Rite of Fire design, so banning good conscience. Cast one, double up, hat trick, flexing quad, single mana, seething songs like my angels, bless the top. Rite of Flame's dominant regardless of meta, the way culture wars the GOP's agenda. It don't apologize for not paying taxes, it doubles down and repeals the ban alliance in practice. Always lucky, never punished, that's what stone pilots do. Mile High Club is screwing you too. Igniting Lotus petals with Rite of Flame is blasphemous. The game shouldn't be environmentally hazardous. The carpet of flowers already fill in the holes, except not if the islands are plains or mountains, plateaus. Unless they're dyslexic. This ain't 2012, it's 2021 and it's hectic. Every card's got 10 yards of text like the scripture. Rite of Flame paints the game's image, big picture. While we quarantine in the midst of pandemic, it's tough to send pizza or post signs at your entrance. You could be our heroes by boosting morale. Just ban Rite of Flame like wishing for a card in exile.
Oh, don't
do that, actually, because you'll get DQ'd. But you could stop global warming and save these fucking dolphins if you just ban Rite of Flame. Ban Rite of Flame, save the dolphins. Hashtag ban Rite of Flame. Hashtag save the dolphins. Let's go.